Yejide is a 45-year-old woman whose husband recently started to snore whenever he's asleep. She's very bothered about this noise from his throat. "Can you just stop? This is driving me crazy," she said. The reason she has come to the hospital with her husband is to talk about this new noise and then to know if something can be done about it. And of course, there's Awa. Awa is a 28-year-old woman who is also bothered that her 4-year-old daughter, Princess, has started snoring in recent times too. She's bothered because she really cannot explain why a child would be snoring. And she has also come to the hospital to get some answers to the many questions she has in her head. This is the moment of truth with the Debunking Doctor, 3D, and I'm your host, 3D. Today's topic, as you would have guessed, is on snoring. I'll be talking about the lies and the truth about snoring. Okay, how many of us have heard someone snore or shared the same room or beds with, you know, a snorer? Or perhaps be the person that is snoring, you know, the one that hence the slap that suddenly wakes you up from your sleep, or suddenly find your partner sleeping in a couch in the sitting room, and yeah, you're like, "But we slept on the same bed together last night." You're wondering why they teleported themselves to the sofa when you didn't know. One thing, of course, might be that you were snoring and they needed to be excused. I understand that there's so much attention to the noise and discomfort that is felt by people close to the snorer. Because really, the snorer is not really affected by the noise. But then, he or she is, however, affected by more important things that simply doesn't get the attention as much as the noise. And it is those other important things that I'm going to talk about today. Frankly speaking, the noise making really is the least of the problem. So let's talk about this other eating yet very important things that should be addressed when it comes to snoring. So what exactly is snoring? Well, snoring is a harsh, unpleasant noise, you know, that is produced at the back of the nose. It's actually a result of, you know, the vibration of sound or of airflow as it comes out through the airway. The reason there will be vibrations, of course, will be that there's something in the way of air, you know, that is preventing it from flowing out freely. And once the air hits on these things, which are parts of the airway, the soft palate, in case you know what I'm talking about, the uvula, you know, that U thing that is in your throat when you open your mouth and someone can see that thing that hangs down. Yeah, that's what we call a uvula. Sometimes the air can eat on it and then it vibrates, and that would give, you know, snoring. It's important, of course, to know that, you know, the intensity of snoring differs, and really the importance of, you know, how loud or how not loud is a function of the person that is close to the snorer. What I'm going to talk about today is a breathing problem that is related to sleep and presents itself with snoring. Okay, usually we call it obstructive sleep apnea in medicine. For short, it is OSA. Okay, so I'll just be saying OSA throughout this podcast. Once you hear OSA, then you should know it is that breathing problem that relates to sleeping and presents itself as snoring. I hope you got that. Okay, so I'm just going to go further into talking about the important things that OSA can present with, and that should be, you know, that should inform us of, you know, visiting the doctor and talking about this snoring or this snoring partner of ours. The snoring that I'm going to, you know, focus on today is to relate it to a particular problem that can be helped. But it is not to say that, you know, anybody that snores has a problem, because there's what we call the primary snoring. You know, with primary snoring, there is really no problem. For this breathing problem that I'm talking about that also presents itself with snoring, there is a problem. Okay, and that is why it is important to look out for the red flags when we see them in these persons. You know, most of the time, if you don't know what you're looking for, even if it is right there in front of you, you will not know it. Which is the reason I thought to talk about it today. And then, you know, help us understand these things that we should look out for in, you know, anybody around us that is snoring, that should, I mean, inform our going to the hospital to complain about the snoring. If you remember the illustrations I made in the beginning, it was about an adult, and the other was, for a child. It is to say that the snoring that might be pointing to a problem is not just restricted to adults. It can also be found in children. And yes, they are usually underlying problems. When a child starts to snore, it is important to say that for any child that snores, that child should be taken to the hospital for evaluation. I repeat, any child that snores should be evaluated further by a doctor. Okay? So, I'll just go forward now and talk about the red flags that should inform visiting the doctor's office when your partner starts to snore. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to talk about the risk factors. Risk factors are factors that, you know, that may predispose someone to an obstructive or a breathing problem when they sleep. So, to make things clearer, I'm saying that it is not everyone that snores that has a problem. So, which means that what do we actually look out for, you know, that starts to increase our suspicion of a breathing problem in this person that snores? Okay, the first of it is snoring that is problematic is actually commoner in men. Okay, obstructive sleep apnea, that is OSA, is commoner in men than in women. That's the first. So is this snorer a man? The second is this snorer obese? Obese means that the person is on the big side, and you know, we have a definition for it. It's a BMI of 30 kilograms per meter squared. BMI is a calculation, or is something that can be calculated. I mean, even at home, all you need to do is, you know, get your weighing scale and then have something to calculate the person's height. And then once you get the two values, it is calculated with the person's weight as the numerator and the person's height squared as the denominator. So it means that if you get an height of, say, 1.65, of course the height has to be in meters, pardon me. So let's say that you get a height of 1.65 meters, it means that you multiply that twice. So 1.65 times 1.65, okay, that makes it squared. And then if the person's weight is, say, 60 kg, because the weight should be in kilograms, then it's going to be 60 kg divided by the square of the person's height, and that is the person's BMI. Okay, any BMI that is from 30 kilograms per meter squared and above is deemed, I mean, is said to be obese. Okay, so the question is this snorer? Remember the first thing I said, is this snorer a man? Is this man obese? Okay, does this man have hypertension? Okay, are you with me? And then does this man snore loudly? I mean, like very loudly, when the sound of the snore can actually penetrate or permeate into another room. You know, people in other rooms can hear it very clearly. You know, those are risk factors that should be looked out for in this person, that may likely point to the fact that their snoring is not just, you know, it's not the snoring that should be overlooked. The next thing to look out for, because usually, you know, I told you that, I have never seen anybody snore while awake. Yes. Most times people that snore are asleep. Did I say most times? Sorry. I mean all the time. A snorer is asleep. Most of the time they don't even know what is happening or what is happening to them. And usually for doctors, I mean for us, when a patient comes to the hospital with concerns about snoring, most of the information that would help the doctor to, you know, hit a particular diagnosis would come from their bed partners, you know, people they sleep with, their roommates. They are usually the ones that see them, you know, and can give really good account of what happens. And because those things are the things that would help us to help this patient, the sleep partner, the roommate should and must come with this snorer to the hospital. Okay, so the other things that the bedmate should look out for to help them know that, oh, there's a problem and this person needs to be helped, is when you notice that your bed partner just stops breathing suddenly. I mean, there's this cessation of breath. And it's sudden, usually lasts for, say, about 10 seconds. And then, you know, most of the time at those times, they may change positions or something like that. And then they go back into the snoring
you know, face.
I talked about the things to look out for. I talked about the complications that could come from this breathing problem if nothing is done about it. I mentioned diabetes. I mentioned worsening hypertension. I mentioned that this person could, you know, start to sleep excessively during the day, and, you know, that could put their life or the lives of their loved ones at risk. I also mentioned that it's been, you know, it's been responsible for some people's depression. Okay. Yes, it could actually cause heart failure too. And yes, stroke. Yes, it causes stroke amongst other things, usually cardiovascular problems, problems with the heart and the blood vessels. I mean, just from snoring. Okay, which is why we should not overlook it. If it needs to be, I mean, addressed, then it should be addressed in time. Well, yes, that's the summary of, you know, what I talked about today. But then I know that, you know, at the back of somebody's mind, they're like, okay, so what of the noise making? Even if it's primary snoring, how about the noise making? Well, yes, there are certain things that, you know, a primary snorer can do to reduce their incidence of snoring. So it means that this person's breath would have ceased for, you know, 10 seconds five times. That's 50 seconds in 1 hour. That is like the mildest form of this obstructive trouble related to sleep. So if this person snores and then you start to notice that they just, I mean, their breath, I mean, the breathing stops suddenly while they are sleeping, that is a pointer to a problem. Anyways, that is a pointer to the fact that that snoring is not ordinary, that snoring needs to be, I mean, looked into. That's the first. The second thing is that, oh, you start to notice that this person, I mean, or this person himself or herself notices that when he or she wakes up, they have this early morning headaches. You know, the headaches disturbs them when they wake up in the morning. They don't feel refreshed in the morning. You know, you still feel like you have not slept well. Okay, and that is why it is important to know that snoring is not, I mean, does not always mean that the person is enjoying their sleep. It could actually mean that they are actually losing sleep while sleeping. Okay, so this person wakes up not feeling refreshed. Okay, those are all, I mean, the other pointers to, I mean, a problem with their snoring. Okay, and then one of the really important ones that I want to point out is excessive daytime sleepiness. This person sleeps a lot during the day, and it's because they've not been able to sleep well at night. Okay, and that is something you start to notice. Sometimes, really, these things, I mean, this sleeping off might be beyond their control. You know, even in the UK right now, people with these obstructive problems during their sleep are actually screened before they are licensed to drive on the road. The reason being that some people with these problems, you know, with really severe forms of this problem, can sleep off on the wheel. And then it's been responsible for some form of road traffic accidents on our roads. So it is important that this problem is not overlooked. And, you know, imagine that this person is the father or the mother who is perhaps traveling with the other family members and then just slips up on the wheel against their own will. You know, that is going to spell, I mean, that's a lot of loss for the entire family, just because, I mean, attention was not paid to something this simple and this common, which is the reason I'd come to talk about it. Okay, because we keep seeing road traffic accident victims every day. It is not to say that, I mean, the driver slept off on the wheel, but even the ones that, you know, the one with that story, we would not get to hear it. And, you know, this thing is quite common, you know, even in developed world, it happens there. It means that some road traffic accidents, even in our country, might just be because the driver slept off, because they had this sleeping, I mean, this breathing problem while they were sleeping. And, you know, nobody paid attention, or they did not know that there was any problem with it. Okay, which is the reason I'm talking about it today. Excessive daytime sleepiness could, I mean, in a snorer, could be a pointer to the fact that their snoring is saying something. Their snoring is sending a message, and not just that they were too tired or they were enjoying their sleep. You know, the normal things that we say when we're talking about snoring. Okay, so for someone like that, who has somebody like that, it is not enough to just complain about the noise that they are making. It is important to start looking out for those things in this person. You know, especially a man who is, you know, on the big side, who snores a lot, I mean, snores very loudly, wakes up with this headache in the morning, does not feel, you know, fresh or refreshed in the morning, and then sleeps, I mean, excessively during the day. Those are pointers to the fact that there might be problems that need to be resolved immediately. And then it now becomes important if this person has hypertension. Once there is hypertension in this snorer who sleeps excessively and all of that, then something needs to be done immediately. You know, that person needs help, of course. Okay, and that is for an adult. Yes, and those are symptoms that could be seen in an adult that needs help when it comes to somebody that is snoring. I hope you got that, and I hope I've been able to make that clear so you will not miss it. The reason, okay, someone is, you know, the other thing that I would like to say is that, yes, apart from the fact that I said, okay, you know, the person could slip off on the wheel because of, you know, having that breathing problem while they sleep, there are other problems that have been related to this obstructive sleep apnea or this problem with breathing while one sleeps. It's actually been related to more cases of diabetes mellitus. Diabetes is the, you know, problem with controlling blood sugar. Okay, people that have this breathing problem are at increased risk of stroke. Yes, of stroke, of heart failure, of depression, actually. And, you know, still in line with what I talked about initially about the sleeping off on the wheel and all of that, you know, there was a research in Ileife, that was in 2018, barely 2 years ago, that looked at commercial car drivers in Ileife and then realized that about 15 of them in 100 actually suffers from obstructive sleep apnea, and that one of two of these 15 actually have very severe forms of it. Okay, and it was that study that actually made it clearer to them that, okay, there might be a problem and they may need to go, you know, ask for help, you know, from the doctors. The other thing is that this is like a wake-up call to our Federal Road Safety Commission. You know, it's important to look at someone's health records, you know, how they've been handling different things and, I mean, their medical history before they are licensed to drive on the road. Well, I really hope that, you know, we get to this point in my country where we start paying attention to details, where people's life, you know, matters a lot. And then, you know, when people come for renewal of licenses, it is not just about having the expertise to drive. Much more than being an expert at driving is, you know, the health condition. Imagine that somebody that, you know, has a problem with convulsion, say epilepsy, is the driver, and then, you know, while they're on the wheel, they have an episode of convulsion while on the wheel. You know, it is going to be like a suicide mission traveling with such person if they are not consistent with, using their drugs or paying attention to their own health. You know, these are things that should be monitored or should be paid attention to when people come for driving licenses. And of course, when they know that, you know, when they go for this license or when they go to this office, this will be demanded of them. Chances are people will start paying more attention to their health by virtue of that, because of that reason, and would have been able to help more people. Okay, yes, I know I paid a lot of attention to the adults. Okay, just a little something for the children. You know, usually when a child snores, just like I told you, snoring is a product of, you know, vibration of sound, and it is a pointer to the fact that there's an obstruction to airflow. So when a child starts to snore, it is usually a pointer to some obstruction, most of the time in the throat. Enlarged tonsils is a very common presentation in children. And by the time a child starts to snore, it means that the obstruction is significant and the child needs help. You know, apart from this enlarged tonsils, of course, is the fact that we now have increased incidence of childhood obesity now. Okay, so the fact that the child is also on the big side might pose, you know, some problem to free airflow in the throat, and it may be pointing to the fact that that child needs help. You know, it's important to make that child, modify the child's food, help him or her exercise better, and all of that. And so, there's really no primary snoring when it comes to a child. Any child that snores should be taken to the hospital for evaluation. Okay, that's compared to an adult where we feel, okay, we need to look out for one or two things to know if this snoring should be followed up or not. And I hope you still remember the things to look out for in this person that needs help, in this snorer that needs help. Okay, so all in all, or the summary of what I'd come to talk about today is what to look out for in a snorer that should inform getting medical intervention for this snorer in a child and in an adult. Okay, usually when we're asleep, the tones of the muscles, how active our muscles are, will drop significantly. We are all very relaxed. The muscles are relaxed. You know, everything is relaxed, and it's the same thing all over. And that's why, you know, the tongue would relax, the muscles in the mouth will relax, all of that relaxes, and they may start to go into positions that they are not usually when you are active, and they may obstruct airflow, and then that leads to the vibration that people will hear snoring. So if you know that you snore and then your sleep partner is, you know, a bit disturbed by the noise you make, even if there is no other red flags, okay, with your snoring and it's just that noise making, you can help your partner or your sleep partner by, you know, not taking alcohol close to bedtime, not taking sedating drugs. Okay, you should also sleep with your head slightly elevated. You could use a pillow, I mean, not like high, but slightly elevated, but never that your head goes below your body, because that would take your tongue to the back. I mean, the tongue will fall to the back in that position, and that would block the easy flow of air. Of course, snoring would happen. Okay, if you're a bit on the big side and you're snoring, it would do you a lot of good to lose weight. Okay, losing weight would mean that you may need to engage yourself in, I mean, appropriate exercise for your health, for your age. Okay, you need to engage in appropriate exercise. You need to eat healthy. You know, take lots of veggies, lots of, you know, fruits. You take lots of water. You rest well, of course, and all of that can. And you have to be consistent with that. Okay, losing weight can. I mean, it's a big deal, and consistency is the key to it. It's not like you do it this month and, you know, you get tired. Okay, I understand that it could be a bit discouraging when you're not seeing the results, you know, but it's important to keep at it, because that is when the results will eventually come. And then the other thing is that you should sleep on your side. Okay, that's another thing. Sleep on your side. It could be on your right side, it could be on your left side, it really doesn't matter. Usually in that position, the tongue will fall forward. Okay, the tongue falls forward in those positions compared to lying on your back when you sleep. Okay, so I hope I've been able to, you know, help you learn something today. And just like I said, in case there is anything or any topic, health related of course, that you want me to talk about, you know, there's this thing that you're not clear about. Is this true? Is this false? You know, there's that confusion. Please let me know about it. I'll be very glad to take it. Well, until then and until next week, I hope you stay safe. And yes, COVID-19 is real, so please stay safe, take precautions. And till I see you next week, be good. Bye.